And welcome back to Coast. With this hour, we're going to talk about the secret energy of animals, animal telepathy, and, of course, psychic abilities of our own. Our special guest, Lori Spagna, joins us, and she's next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, Lori N. Spagna, best-selling author, a couple of her books, Learn Animal Communication and Telepathy, How Psychic Are You?, speaker, spiritual teacher, ascension guide, we'll tell you about that, multidimensional channel, intuitive animal communicator, energy healer, let me take a breath, light worker, visionary and luminary who assists others to awaken their own alignment with the true divine source, which exists within each and every being so that all beings can live their best life ever. Radically transformed after a very series of near-death experiences while living in Maui in Hawaii, Lori teaches about ascension and acts as a guide to awakening spirituality-minded animal lovers, light workers, starseeds, and way showers. Lori, welcome to the program. What a bio.
Well, hello, George. Thank you so much for having me tonight. I'm so glad to be here.
You too. And what is a way shower?
A way shower. Way showers. You know, awakening beings who are all helping one another to pave the way to a new paradigm, a new way of living, a new way of being, and a whole new reality, really. Those are way showers. We're all way showers. You're a way shower.
Well, tell me about these near-death experiences.
Well, what happened was I was living in Maui, and I was studying with a really what I would call a true master. And this gentleman had lived in the Himalayan mountains for most of his life. And he actually has documented cases where he woke up in a freezer in the morgue, like literally that kind of. And some of his proteges and students are already practicing teletransportation. A lot of that's already documented. But I was studying with him, and he was essentially teaching me how to still the body so much that my consciousness would be able to continue to be completely conscious while the physical reality that I exist in would drop out. And he was able to hold, in one of the experiences with him, he would do what was called a little death. He helped me experience what's called a little death, which is where he knew how to take the consciousness, my consciousness, the essence of who I am as an individualized being, and hold it, in a sense, so that the entire physical reality that I lived in just dropped out.
Was that dangerous?
Not for him, it wasn't. No, he was a real master. It was incredible. And what happened was when he did that, essentially, I was in another totally different state of consciousness, a whole different frequency or dimensional reality, so to speak. And it seems to me that maybe 5 minutes passed by. I don't have a linear time, but it was an hour that I was in the room, and there were people in the group, other students around me. And what he did was he basically counted to three, said, "That's it, it's time now." He counted to three, he snapped his fingers, I popped back into my physical reality, in my physical body, and I was so full of, like, hysterical, blissful laughter, because these frequencies of the non-physical realm are just so blissful and euphoric. So everyone in the room, all of the other students, all they needed to do, basically, was put their fingers on me, and for another hour or more, everyone was in a fetal position, hysterical laughing, because this frequency of joy and bliss, it's so out of our earthly experience, it's almost impossible to contain it in the physical form. Does that make sense?
Now, when we talk about ascension, and explain that a little bit.
Well, to me, ascension is just the experience that we're all going through, which is an evolutionary process where each individual is waking up out of a reality where everything has been only physical, and anything else that wasn't physical didn't exist. We were crazy and we didn't believe it. We're waking up out of that reality, and we're actually passing through stages of consciousness where we're expanding our consciousness and essentially elevating our consciousness into a new paradigm or a new reality where we recognize that actually the non-physical is more real than the physical. And we're essentially integrating that into our everyday lives from a whole new state of consciousness. To me, that's ascension.
Now, for ascension, let's understand it, because what is 3D, 4D, 5D? What is that?
Yeah. So 3D is the physical world we've been living in. That's how I describe it. If you just think of 3D, it's as simple as the three dimensions. The way I describe it is light, various colors of light, gradients of light, everything we see, sound, which is everything we hear, and then space, height, width, and depth. And that includes time. Linear time is essentially is a space, a distance. So that's the third dimensional paradigm, and that's where we've all been living in. And in that 3D paradigm, we're primarily operating from a left brain, and most of everything we know and experience we're taught by some external authority who tells us what to believe. So when we go through 4D, we start connecting with the non-physical world. That's when we start getting in touch with things like angels and loved ones who have crossed over and ghosts. Is that real? We start making sense of everything in the non-physical world. We start opening up to our true psychic abilities. We start accessing higher consciousness. We start becoming more telepathic. We start becoming more empathic. We're accessing this non-physical world, which I refer to as the fourth dimension. And by the way, that's really where time exists, because time is a construct of our consciousness. Thoughts are in the fourth dimension. Emotions, beliefs. I mean, those things are things, but they're not physical in a sense. So as we start to integrate that into our reality, that's as we really start becoming more conscious of all that stuff, that's how we start leveling up into this so-called fifth dimensional consciousness, where we start recognizing, like, everything is part of this one universal source. We start shifting into universal consciousness. We start connecting with unity consciousness. And we start living from that new platform, that new way of being.
Are you able to move between these dimensions?
Well, this is the interesting thing, because actually, in reality, it's within us. It's not like we're going anywhere. We don't go anywhere. What we do is we're shifting our consciousness. And the big thing is it's a vibrational shift. So in 3D, our vibration, the energy that we have, is based typically in fear. It's like fear, worry, anxiety, frustration, doubt, you know, sickness, illness, depression, sadness. Those are the vibratory states of the third dimensional consciousness. And we don't realize it's all based in domination, you know, coercion, manipulation. Those are aspects of our reality. But in fifth dimension, we're elevating, we're clearing out, we're basically disentangling ourselves emotionally, mentally, physically, energetically, from all of that fear-based reality. And as we do so, we're elevating into a new peace, love, joy-based frequency. And that becomes our guiding force. So rather than just being in our left analytical brain from the third dimensional paradigm, now we start shifting more to heart-centered magnetism, the magnetism of peace and love and joy, that is a vibratory state in our heart center. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm with it. I'm with it. We'll take calls with folks next hour. We'll see if they make sense.
Yeah, awesome. Love that.
Now, this near-death experience that you had,
mm-hmm.
Are you glad that you've never had another one?
Well, I want to say, the way I call it a near-death experience, it's not like I was in a hospital.
So right. Or you got hit by a car or something
right.
like that.
It's not that form, but it also was not what we might call astral travel. A lot of people associate it with astral travel. I wasn't in my physical form, just sort of extending out beyond physicality and traveling in a fourth dimensional realm. The reason I refer to this as a near-death experience is because, again, in my consciousness, the physical reality completely dropped away. And part of my experience was through practice on basically a daily basis. What I was doing was every night after that master that I was working with, his teachings were that I had to work through the whole night meditating without ever falling asleep, being able to completely still myself while remaining entirely conscious. And so what that really does is it transforms your experience. And it's very easy, actually, after lots of practice, it's not easy initially, to completely leave the physical form. It's possible. And the interesting thing was what really opened all of this up was that at the time I was living in Maui, mm-hmm. and I would do it on my back porch a lot of times through the night. And one of the nights when I was on the back porch overlooking the golf course, it's 2 o'clock in the morning, and I made contact with, you know, like a ship. It was a light ship. I knew at that time, I had worked in the cable industry. I knew what a satellite was. I knew it wasn't a satellite.
Sure.
And at that time, there was no airplane traffic at 2 in the morning. So I was already doing telepathy. I had already learned that, but I didn't know it well enough that I knew nothing about ships. I knew nothing about, this is all pre-2012. I knew nothing about extraterrestrials or star family races, but I just had this belief that they were here to help us, like my own ignorance at that time. And I just mentally said, telepathically said, like, if I can do anything to help, I'm here. Like, I was just really kind of clueless about it. But I was teletransported onto that ship. That was what unlocked even more. Even more was awakened from that point. So this is really where all this stuff came from. It's not like I just, you know, overnight did this. It was over a period of several years that this was all going on.
And you claim that you were abducted.
I wouldn't call it an abduction. I wouldn't use that word. Because in my language, if you say abduction, it means someone took you against your free will and caused, to me, that's what that means.
Right, and took you to another place.
Right, and did something to you against your free will. To me, it was, I would call it a divine appointment with my star family. I would call myself, I use the term braided starseed.
Why you? Were you picked?
Well, I don't think I'm alone. I think there's lots of us here. I know there are. So I would say more what it was a divine appointment. It was part of what I call a sacred contract, essentially. An agreement, a pre-agreement, almost like pre-birth or pre-incarnation. And that agreement was designed before I even incarnated. So even being in Maui was a divine appointment. I don't think of it like an abduction. I think of it more like a first contact.
During any of this, Lori, did you come across anything that you felt was kind of demonic or evil?
No, but I do remember in the very early days of waking up into my, you know, my psychic gifts, I do remember being approached by beings that seemed maybe not so benevolent, or maybe with their own personal agendas. And I just always remember, no one ever taught me this. It just was my mantra, like, I'm not interested unless it's benevolent. I'm not interested unless it's of the light. I'm not interested unless it's of service to the greater good. And that was just, it just, none of that stuff really came into my field after that, because it just was my claim. You know, like, I just kept saying it. And I never really played with any of that stuff.
Is there some kind of message that they are trying to convey through people like you?
Yeah, I mean, I think it depends on who the they is. But in my case, I was dealing with an intergalactic group of my star family origin. And what my understanding is, and still, you know, this is what I do now, is that humanity is going through a massive shift of consciousness. A massive evolution, unlike anything that has ever happened.
That's a good thing, right?
Yes, absolutely. And this is an opportunity for all of us to become sovereign, to liberate ourselves from this old paradigm, again, based in fear, domination, manipulation, secrecy, conspiracy. It's all that stuff that is starting to come out. Through amazing, you know, through Coast to Coast, such an amazing platform to help people become more conscious about this. And basically, as we're waking up, we're liberating ourselves from that. We're reclaiming our sovereignty, and we're remembering who we truly are. And then we're birthing from within us what our real great gifts are to the greater good of humanity and how we're going to share that as we evolve going forward.
Lori, in your bio that I just read, it talks about how you want every being to live their best life that they can.
Yeah.
And how do they do that?
Well, this is the process. See, this is the thing. It's not a pill. Our old paradigm is so based in, like, take a pill and everything will be better in the morning. You know, it's so not like that. It's an entirely new way of being. And it is, it's an ongoing process of what I would call spiritual hygiene. Just like you take a shower every day, there's certain things that we have to do. So, for example, one of the things we have to do is we have to start identifying as individuals and also as a collective human species, every belief, every thought, every belief system, every point of view, every perspective that keeps us stuck or small or mediocre or in some form of limitation or lack or in any form of separation from one another, from Earth, from the universe, from the galaxy, from our divine source, however we experience that. That's the first thing. We start identifying all of that. And as we do, we also have to clean it out. We have to transform it. So, you know, I often say the new currency of Earth will be perspective. Because we'll be sharing new perspectives. We have to level up our perspective to this unity consciousness and this alignment with our source. So that's part of the process.
You have talked about the energy of animals, animal telepathy. We'll get into that after the break, Lori, because you are pretty adamant about that, aren't you?
Yeah. Yeah, the animals are incredibly conscious beings. We haven't given them the acknowledgement as sentient beings that they truly are. So they have so much to teach us and so much to share with us. And it's just that we, as humans, have falsely projected our egoic identities and our sense of superiority upon them. So we just haven't been able to receive in a conscious way how truly conscious and sentient they are and what they have to share with us.
We're with Lori Spania. Lori, spell out your website for people.
It's my name, LoriSpagna, LoriSpagna.com.
Almost like lasagna.
Yes, that's exactly right. When I was in high school, people used to call me Lori Lasagna.
So,
yes, you got it, George.
Since this has happened to you, and it's been many years, would you say that it's changed your life?
I would say my entire life has transformed in this process, yes, absolutely. I'm not even the same person I was yesterday, let alone 15 years ago when I really started getting actively involved in this. In fact, what I would say is that when I started on this journey, at the very beginning, I was excessively smoking, excessively drinking, excessively using pharmaceutical drugs, excessively using excessive spending. I was like 65 pounds overweight. My physical body was in a lot of...
God, you were on the road to killing yourself.
I was. I wasn't consciously doing it, but I was. And that old paradigm wasn't working for me. And within less than a year of me getting aligned with what I was meant to do, all of that stuff went away. Within 2 years, it was all gone, including 6 figures in debt, credit card debt, gone. 65 pounds of body weight, gone. 2 packs a day of cigarettes for 20 years, gone. 6 beers a day for several years, gone. All of it, gone. I didn't need it anymore.
Good for you, Lori. Good for you. We're going to come back and talk about animal telepathy next on Coast to Coast. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. George Norrie with you, Lori Spagna with us, of course. Lori, let's talk about animal telepathy and how this has been turned into such an incredible area for you. How did this happen?
Well, actually, for me, it pretty much all started with the animals. So essentially, what happened was I was living in Los Angeles. This was really before I got onto, you know, this journey that I'm on now, like what I'm doing now. And my brother died of an unexpected drug overdose.
Oh, gosh.
And, yeah, I mean, at the time, I didn't know I had any of these gifts, you know? I didn't know this was within. It's within all of us. We all have all these gifts. We just have to cultivate them. But in any case, his drug overdose, essentially because of that, when he crossed over into the non-physical realm, he couldn't find his way. He couldn't navigate. So in religion, they might call it purgatory, or in some ancient, like Buddhist religions, they might call it the Bardos, for example. But he was trapped in there. And it seemed, from what I could discern through our connections, which initially I had to keep validating, like, if this is real, show me this. If this is real, tell me, like, help me know if this is real. But it was essentially like, you got to help me, Lori. Like, I'm your wake-up call. You have to change, and you're going to help me. And that's where my gift started opening up. But the big message, and this is kind of funny, because my brother was a I'm a New Yorker. We were New Yorkers, and his name was Jeff. And the voice that I started hearing initially, it was very funny. He was like, hey, Law, it's your dead brother, Jeff. So, I mean, I just started listening, paying attention, and basically his message was like, you have to change your ways and quit your six-figure job, you know, as a slave. You're on a hamster wheel of life, and do what you love. So that's what I did. I quit my job. I became a dog trainer. I got hired by a guy who spent 20 years training service dogs for the United States military. And when he left the military, he started a dog training business. And he hired me, and as he was training me, he would videotape everything I did, and he would say, you have to do this on automatic pilot. So while I was doing it on automatic pilot, you know, your brain goes quiet, and I could hear the dogs. That's where it really started. And the dogs would say, look, you listen to me, and I'm going to teach you.
We'll train you. We'll train you, right?
Yeah. And their big message right from the beginning, right? Because I got really good at listening. Like, my auditory gifts were some of the first ones that really came online. But basically what they said was, we're here to help humans. And if you want to help us, you're going to have to help the humans. That's our message. And it just grew from there. Just kept growing.
So first of all, you basically gave up a six-figure paying job to become a dog handler.
Yeah, that was kind of a joke. I literally lost everything those first 2 years. I lost everything. Like, I had no money. I couldn't pay my bills for a while. So that was pretty tough.
But this was by design.
I mean, I think that's all part of the plan. Yeah, ultimately, I do.
That's gutsy.
I do believe that we pick it all. We pretty much choose our journey before we incarnate, for the most part. And I think that was part of my divine plan. Yeah.
Now, there's a lot of people listening to you right now, Lori, who are pet lovers and pet owners, and they would probably love to know, how do they communicate with their animals?
Yeah, all right. Well, so let's first understand just the basics. If I can just explain the basics.
Okay.
I want people to really get it. Everyone can do it. So first, let's understand, part of telepathy happens through a theta brainwave. And our everyday reality, we do not learn how to access the theta brainwave. We learn delta in our sleep. We learn beta is active and alert. If you do light meditation, you might learn an alpha brainwave. But everyone can learn to access the theta brainwave, and that is a brainwave of universal intelligence, right? And that's where information transports. So psychic information moves through a theta brainwave, and when you learn how to access it, you can have telepathic communication, right? That's first. So everyone can do that. Second, we all know we all have a pineal gland and a pituitary gland in the center of our brain. That pineal gland and pituitary gland, master glands that actually see. It's not our eyes that see. Our eyes are filters. It's not our ears that hear. Our ears are just canals, right? They're another form of allowing vibration to come through. It's our brain. So these master glands get calcified in humans when we drink fluoride and when we pour it in the water and eating genetically modified foods and artificial sweeteners. That stuff shuts down our pineal gland and our pituitary glands. But dogs don't, cats, most animals, they don't have that issue. It's very active for them. It doesn't get calcified. So that's also known as our psychic eye, right? Our third eye. But that is an extrasensory center of our brain that allows us to magnify our extrasensory abilities, including our psychic abilities of every kind. Then in addition to that, a couple more pieces about this. We all have a heart. As we develop the magnetism of our heart through breath, meditation, various forms of energy work, the brain in our heart, we literally have brain matter in our heart. We know that from the Institute of Heart Math. We know that from enough scientific studies now. We can communicate through our heart center. We can exchange magnetic information energetically. So animals are already doing that. already actively have that. They haven't shut it down. Like, we're just learning. In addition to that, two other key pieces here, actually three. We all have a gut, right? Same things that shut down our pineal gland and our pituitary glands also shut down the gut. But the gut is a form of intelligence. It has brain matter in there too. So as we learn to nourish our gut and clean out our systems, we develop brain matter in the gut. That's another way that we can exchange information. Animals are already doing it. It doesn't shut down in them because they're not so busy in their left brain like we are. We're left analytical brain. So here's the other piece that's relative to this, is that animals are largely right-brained, where we are largely left-brained. And the right brain is the awareness brain. It just knows. It doesn't have to figure it out. So all of these things, this is how, or these are the tools that animals use to communicate. And when we learn how to do it, it's very easy to have a two-way dialogue with them.
What do they want with us?
Well, animals are actually here with a divine mission. And their divine mission is to help humans awaken. It really is. So, but essentially, they're working with us in three ways. Number one, they, especially when they live with their humans, they're healers. So they're massive empaths. They feel everything that their human feels. So they basically absorb whatever is going on in the human's life, and they function as healers to their human. So we'll get into this a little more, but if the human's carrying stress, the animal can absorb it and help them to relieve the stress. This is why it's well known that animals service animals, and they really do help, right? That's one way. Secondly, animals are teachers. So a lot of times they'll take on behaviors that are going on in the human family. So, for example, let's say you have a human who's really fearful. They may be fearful of their external world or fearful of life or whatever. The animal could become very aggressive to just help their human, to defend their human. Conversely, if the human's really aggressive, the animal might be very aggressive to demonstrate this is the behavior, this is the energy in the home where they live. And the third way that animals are here is just to have an experience, just like we are. I mean, there's an aspect of source, creator, whatever terminology you want to use. They're an aspect of consciousness in a physical form, and they're having experiences too, growing, learning, evolving, just like we are.
Do they enjoy the fact that you have an ability to have telepathy with them?
You know, it's so funny that you ask that, George, because sometimes I'll meet animals, and sometimes what I'll hear is, oh, finally, like someone who can hear me. Sometimes animals will say things like, okay, now that I've got your attention, can I just share all these things with you? So a lot of times, yes. Other times, some animals are like, huh? You're going to listen to me? Like, really? So, yeah, it's really interesting. They all have different, perspectives, and they all have different, you know, awarenesses when you start interacting with them. Like, one of the coolest things that ever happened, I remember this, well, I've had a lot of really cool things with animals, but one really cool time, I was leading a dolphin journey. We were swimming with the dolphins. And I was under the water, swimming along on my side. It was two dolphins, one sort of above the other, eye to eye. And I had like a mask on. And all of a sudden, it hit me like, oh my God, I brought 30 people here. And I created this experience. This is so incredible. So I start like crying into my mask. And, you know, like my mask is getting filled up with like, you know, I had to get up to the surface to clear it. And as I'm starting to elevate to the surface, I hear one of the dolphins say to the other dolphin, she's having an emotional experience. And I'm like, what? Like, oh my God. And then I get to the top, I take off my mask, and all of a sudden I realize that those dolphins sent me some form of incredible energy healing.
Oh, they're amazing, aren't they?
Yes. I went into such a bliss state. I was like so in the zone, George. I was so blissed out. And I realized those dolphins sent me a healing when they realized I was having this like emotional experience. Just incredible, right?
When you're sick or you have a disease, there are some dogs and cats that hospitals use now to sniff out patients with cancer and other ailments. How do they do that? Is it a smell sense, or is there something really supernatural about it?
Well, I mean, I think from my perspective, everything's supernatural. So you could say that, yes. But it's just, yes, they are extrasensory. Their extrasensory abilities are so turned on. So, for example, with an animal, like right now, if I tell you, think about Australia and remember Australia, you can think about Australia. Anyone can know where it is on the planet. But when you're not thinking about it, it's still in your mind. You're still aware. It's there. Well, animals are like that, too. So just because someone says, like, okay, animal, go smell out, you know, see if there's something in this human, they're already aware of it. They're just receiving the telepathic information from the person's thoughts, or if it's a medical person who's working with them or a trainer, they're receiving that information telepathically. Okay, they perhaps most likely have already been trained to do that, but their extrasensory abilities, again, going back to those master glands in the brain, that truly it's the brain that smells, it's the brain that sees. They see light, sounds, and colors in totally different ways, in more expanded ways than we do. And they can pick that up. Like, for example, a human eye, the average human eye, is only seeing approximately 1% of all there is to see. An animal eye can see so much more. We are not seeing through their eyes. We don't understand that. That's why they can do that stuff.
There are some great animal lovers who do things that maybe they shouldn't do.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of those things that really end up hurting an animal when they think they're trying to help it?
That's an awesome question. Yeah, this is the thing animals say all the time. The worst animal abusers, and they say it with love, there's no judgment. The worst animal abusers are animal lovers who share the pain and suffering of animals. So in other words, what
Explain.
They're basically saying is that when we like post pictures on social media, or when we share images or stories of the abuse of animals or the pain and suffering,
right.
What we're doing, can you hear me?
Yeah.
No. What we're doing essentially is feeding the very pain and suffering with more energy. We're expanding that. And what they really want us to do is share the success stories about all the wonderful things that are happening for animals, because things really are getting better for animals. For example, like in Tonga, they've made whales citizens. They give whales the same rights as humans in Tonga. Now we know farm animals are starting to get treated better. No more, you know, more and more they're eliminating hormones from, you know, that stuff. They're also putting more grass-fed, pasture-raised animals. This is an improvement. And that's the kind of stuff that animals are asking us to share.
I saw a commercial for a lobster, and they cooked it and steamed it by putting it into a boiling pot of water.
Yeah.
And they put this crawly little lobster in this pot, and they pull it out, and it's dead, and it's, you know, pink red, and they eat it. And they're doing a commercial on eating the lobster. No need to give the name of the client. But isn't that a horrible way to die for even a lobster?
Well, I want to tell you, one time I was living in Malibu at the time, and I went into like a fish store, right? And I walked in, and I mean, there was a long line, and there were all these lobsters in this, you know, in a glass, you know, whatever those aquarium kind of things. And the moment I looked at them, I could hear the lobsters screaming, "Get me out of here!"
Oh, my God.
It was horrible.
Well, they hiss when you put them in those pots. You can hear them screaming. Oh, yeah.
I've never heard that, but I could hear that. And it's really horrible. We don't really realize. And I'll say this because this is coast to coast, but this is going to be one of those belief system busters. I have a knowing within me that our need or belief that we have to eat animals in order to survive is linked to certain extraterrestrial programming in us. For example, reptilian programming. Yeah. You can clear this stuff out because the truth is, as we're evolving, we have the ability to eat the light of the sun, to feed from the light of the sun. We have the ability to breathe. Like, for me, I'm shifting into breatharian more and more. I'm finding that I can feed myself from the light of the sun and the breath of air.
Nothing wrong
it's
with
possible.
That.
What's that?
Nothing wrong with that. Lori, we're going to take a break and come back and take an hour of phone calls with you as we talk about ascension of human beings, animal telepathy. If you're an animal owner or lover, share your story with us. I bet you have a lot of them. I'm George Norrie. We'll be back in a moment right here on Coast to Coast AM.